bless you with a copy. Amen. Now, those of you who are with us on a routine basis, you know that we have an ongoing study that we return to throughout our times of study and preaching on Sunday. And we're studying through the Epistle to the Romans. And we have arrived in chapter 8, which is basically the crux of our teaching, if you will. And so we're going to bring in today just a few verses from the Old Testament that we would like first to read in your hearing. And that will be found in the book of Genesis in the 6th chapter, starting at the very first verse.
Can we all stand, please? Read the word.
Amen. Genesis 6 and 1, and this will be from the King James translation. It says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." We've read Genesis 6, the first 6 verses. And now from the New Testament, a few verses from the Epistle to the Romans from chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but all ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Yes.
But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered."
Yes.
We've read Romans 8, verses 18 to 26. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for all of your mercy, Lord.
Yes.
We just thank you for your grace today, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we come in mortal bodies, O God, that have been in the world and beaten and battered, O God, tossed to and fro and turned every which way but loose, O God.
Mm-hmm.
And we come, O God, under the influence of your Spirit by your grace today. And we ask, God, that you speak through these mortal lips of clay, Lord, that the people might be touched, O God, in their inner being. Father, we pray for salvation for anyone here today who has not come into the body of Christ. And we pray, O God, that you give us ears to hear and a heart to understand, O God, and give us enthusiasm to execute that which you have said. We bless you now. We give you praise in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just thank God we have come to the Memorial Day weekend, as it is called. And a lot is done to commemorate people who have been mostly military was where the concept came from in America for the holiday. And we commemorate those who went to the battlefields and fought for the freedom of our country. And then, of course, we've read that sometimes that extends over into other people and other generations of folks who came before us that have passed on, and we remember and commemorate them today.
Amen.
Well, let us just say that in honor of Memorial Day, we thank God for the fact that He has shown us the solution to the whole problem of death, suffering, insecurity, of the kinds of things that generate war in the world. And God has really been dealing with man on this whole front. So as you come to these times, we want to ask you to think about where you have been. I know sometimes these are troubling memories when we remember people from before.
Yes.
And always, because there's that tinge of just missing them and the things that kind of perplex our hearts about death and the whole drama and of life, how things are. But I want to give you some comfort today, because I want you to understand that if we live in the past, let's say we live in the present based on the past, is what I want to say, we have a tendency not to be content or not to be happy, and it has a tendency to be depressing and even produce despair.
That's right.
In many cases. But if we focus on the future,
yes,
and that's the title of this message today, is focusing on the future.
Amen.
Then we can have hope. It has been said that people who don't trust God live their life in the present based on the past.
Yes. Yeah.
They look back at what happened and how things have been, and I'm living today based on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are saved and understand that God has been with you in the conflict.
That's right. Amen.
He has been with you through all the trouble. He's been with you through the changes.
Yes, he has.
He has been with you through everything that went on in the past, and He has delivered you, and quite honestly, or you wouldn't be in the present.
Amen.
Right. You know, and that's why we should think of today as a gift. That's why we call it the present. Because it's a gift that God has given you. He has given you the present, if
yes.
you will. And we think of the word present, that's kind of a play on the words.
Yes.
But you know what? The reason that we can be content in this life is that we have a future to look forward to.
Yes, we do.
God has made some things evident in the world, even in the midst of time, that we can focus on that which He has promised in the future.
Amen.
You know what? If you look at His word and examine it, you'll find out He has a flawless track record.
Yes.
He has done all kinds of things in the word, and the more you understand about it, the more grounded you can become in the truth, and the more you can set your hopes on the things of the future.
Amen.
In the book of Colossians, which is something we'll take a look at later on in the week, and I just want to mention it now, He says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Then He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
See, so God has already came into the flesh in the person of His Son in order to experience death, so that death itself could be dealt a death blow, if you
yes.
will.
Amen.
He brought death to death, you see, and got up out of the grave to prove that He was victorious.
Amen.
See, and then we wouldn't even get that at all if it was not for His Spirit. The quickening power of His Spirit
yes.
and His Word is the reason you and I understand that and embrace it by faith.
Amen.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But keep this in mind. God has been in the struggle with us in everything that we have been going through. And everything you're going through right now, every challenge that you have in your life to face,
yes.
God is in the midst of the struggle with you.
Amen.
He has not left us without a comforter, as Jesus said.
That's right.
You know, that was one of the most grieving messages that the apostles heard when they had sat and ate the Passover. Jesus told them, prepare the Passover. And you begin to read about that in John 12 on through up until He was crucified. And they were sitting there going, well, we know that this person is the Messiah.
Yes.
We know. He came and He showed off. He came and He showed everything that He did was that the power of God was just emanating through Him.
That's right. Amen.
You know, He did stuff no one could ever do.
That's right.
He healed blind people who had been blind from birth.
Amen.
You know, He put limbs back on people that were missing.
Yes.
He put the ear back on Malchus later on that was cut off by Peter.
Yes.
You know, He showed up and He showed off, if
yes,
you will.
Amen.
He walked on water. He spoke to the storms and the sea and said, peace,
yes.
be still. And they just went on down. He could speak to a tornado and say, stop that.
Yeah.
And the tornado would quit.
Yeah.
You know, He had all power to do anything. And He has shown that they knew who we are dealing with here. This man has to be God. Nicodemus came with all of his spiritual education. He was a man of the Pharisees. And he came to Jesus by night saying, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. You know, everybody knew it. It was obvious.
Yes.
Because no man can do the signs that you do except God be with them.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and so he knew. They knew, but they just weren't getting it, because the fact is that he was going to prostitutes, sinners of every stripe. He hung out in the pubs with the folks who were at the bar. And we would say today, he went to the most lowly people in the society who had been ostracized by the religious community. You know, and he said, well, why is there, if he's a good man, why is he hanging out with tax collectors and sinners?
Yeah.
You know, and because we don't associate with those folks. That's the way they were, you know. And the fact is, he came to the poor. He said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
To bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
See, I'm coming to the lowly, those who you all have kicked to the curb, that I love them as much as I do you.
Yes.
You think they're nothing. You kick them to the curb because they got problems and issues, but you got problems and issues too.
That's right.
You just cover over yours with a robe and walk around acting like you holy. That's the whole difference, you see.
Amen.
But Jesus said, no, I come to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Even the apostles, they said, well, you little kids, get away, you're bothering Jesus. He didn't want the kids to come.
That's right.
Y'all too much trouble, get away.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no, he rebuked them. Suffer the little children
Yes.
to come unto me and forbid them not, for
Amen.
Such is the kingdom of heaven. See, so he came breaking down religious barriers
Yes.
in order to let people know that he was truly God.
That's right.
And no matter what you're going through, what you've been through, how people have mistreated you, how you've been abused, I am here for you.
Yes.
I love you. I've got the power of death even. And he showed that while he was alive too, remember?
Yes, he did.
He went over to raise Lazarus and he waited intentionally until it was way too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for him to ever be able to get up out of the grave. He waited for 4 days.
Yes.
And he went and Martha and Mary said, oh Lord, no, you've been dead for 4 days. If you had just been here.
Right.
He said, do you not know who I am?
Right.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
You know who you're dealing with here. You know, roll the stone away. Oh, no, Lord, we can't do that. He stinketh.
Yeah.
You know, by now we know he's decomposing in there.
Right.
You see? And so basically he told them, roll, don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? They rolled away the stone. You know the story? Lazarus came forth.
Yes, he did.
And he said, loose him and let him go. Get him out of that burial shroud before you kill him again. You see? And so we see he showed off.
Yeah.
But what this lesson is about, and we'll try to make it in as few words as possible, is so deep that you must attend Bible study if you can do it at all.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have some more stuff that we need to talk about. Here, we're not going to get it all in this morning. We're going to try to give you a nutshell today so that you can be filled, and it's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
But now, when we come back later, same time, same channel, as they say,
yeah.
And we'll have more to say on this. But I want you to understand this. In Genesis 6, this is the record that God has given concerning the struggle that God has taken up with man.
Yes.
He had put man in the earth. You all know the story. And by this time, we're in the days of Noah. God has pronounced 120 days until the destruction of mankind, because man had went from, as we would say, from bad to worse.
Yes.
He had gotten to the point where anything goes. Does that remind you of anything?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We look around now. Jesus says, so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah.
That's right.
As it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is ready to return, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the flood came and swept them away.
Yes.
See, and they were not ready because, God's not going to do anything. They poo-poo God and say he's not going to do anything. He doesn't even exist half the time. We got them telling us that again, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, and they want to second guess and circumvent God, say he doesn't exist. So it says here, though, in Genesis 6 and 1, it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took unto them wives of all which they chose. Now, we're not going to be able to unpack Genesis 6 at all, but I wanted you to pay careful attention, not in the time we have here. But in verse 3, it says this, and the Lord said, now this is God speaking.
Yes.
My spirit, who is that? That's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Spirit of God.
Amen.
See, shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And you know, Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life.
That's right.
The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
So he says here, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's to fight and to be in contention and to battle and to go through changes with. He says, my spirit is not always going to do that. There's going to come a day when I stop. Is what that means. Right now, I'm putting up with it. Okay? Notice what he says here. Moving on, verse 3, I wanted to zoom in there. For that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So he gave Noah 120 years more than he had already had. Noah was already quite of age. And now notice this, and we're going to just move a point. I wanted to take that section out of Genesis 6 to let you see that ever since before the flood, which is a major cataclysm that took place on the earth that reconfigured the entire creation. And we don't know how the world was before the flood, but we know after the flood, God had to adjust all kinds of things to accommodate all the water with which he flooded the world. And the Bible says that he baptized the earth, and that was the death of it, if you will, of everything except those who were in his ark, the ark of safety.
Amen.
8 souls were lifted up and saved as a result of that same baptism of the world. And Peter talks about that later. We won't have time to exhaust it today. But I want you to see that only those that were in the ark were saved, and they were set apart by God by faith because they believed God.
Amen.
Within the time limit that he had given. So it's important that you know that God loves you just
yes,
like you
does.
Are. He's speaking to you all the time.
Yes,
he wants you to be on the inside. His spirit is striving with people to get them to repent.
Yes.
So that he can love them and does not have to judge them.
Amen.
He doesn't want to judge us. You see, didn't want to judge them.
Right.
He made a way. They could all have escaped had they have listened, but they would not listen. And so he said his spirit was striving with them, yet Noah was only able in 120 years to convince his own family, who hadn't been born yet when this was spoken. If you check the word, that'll be an interesting factor to you. The fact that they were born after the fact and he raised them up in godliness like we like to do our children. Raise them up to know the truth so that when they get grown, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
Amen. So in either case, God's spirit has been striving with man. And the reason this is critical to our lesson in Romans 8 is because Paul says this. Now, getting into the New Testament text, for I reckon that the sufferings, notice that, of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. God has a glorious plan for all of his children. It's going to redound to the glory of God. We're going to be so happy. We think we're happy to come worship him here. Imagine that great day when sin won't be anymore.
Yes.
There won't be any wicked in the world anymore.
Amen.
There won't be anything troubling. No sickness, no disease, no death.
Yes.
There will be nothing but good things. Everything that God intended from the beginning.
My Lord.
Everything that would defile and corrupt will be done away.
Yes.
So that's what he's looking for. He says, and the stuff we're going through now, not worthy to be compared. It doesn't even compare at all to what God has laid up for you if you trust in him. And this shall be revealed in us. Now, this is the thing I want you to see in verse 19, how this connects to Genesis 6. For the earnest expectation of the creation, we could say, waiteth, in other words, is it's waiting for a particular time in the future for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is allowing the earth to go on to give people time to become a part of his kingdom.
Yes.
To bless you with his grace rather than his judgment.
Yes.
So that's the reason for the delay. And Peter says we should be looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Amen.
You see? And how do we do that? Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. So he's given us time, you and me.
Amen.
Yo, God isn't on TV. Well, he can be on TV in churches and ministers, but just say the general thing that the world is talking about is not God.
Yes.
They're more interested in the almighty dollar, if you will.
That's right.
Lord Mammon is in charge in so many places.
Amen.
That means people worship the dollar bill and money and possessions and all of that. Right. And they have the illusion that they're going to continue to go on and on and on. And that there's not going to be a day of accountability. Mm-hmm. But God has entrusted his church, the called out ones, to take this message to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
You know, and I'm delighted about that. Not just because I'm a minister, but because the gospel is the best thing on earth.
That's right.
It's the good news. God loves you. He accepts you just like you are.
Yes.
And he wants common people to carry the message. He still does that right now, just as he did in those days. The religious people were so exalted in their own mind that they wouldn't even be able to carry the word, because they preach salvation by good works.
That's right.
You know, and the fact is, no matter how good your works are, there is a problem with your works. You got something that's not right, that you will need God's grace to get by. I always tell people you can get saved two ways. Either you can be completely holy from the womb to the tomb and never break any of God's commandments. If you can do that, God will accept you.
Mm-hmm.
Now check your record. I check mine. I can't get by that way. That won't work for me.
Won't work.
You see, the second way is God's grace. You trust in his son, which really is the only way, because the first way is eliminated. Most people I talk to who are being honest can't say they've lived their whole life spotless and without any transgression against God.
No way.
I can't say it. I can't say that. I need grace. I need mercy.
Yes.
And I'm glad that God provided it. That's why he sent his son.
Yes.
Into the world so that Jesus can become grace and mercy for you. The Bible says he was made sin for you in order that you might become the righteousness of God in him.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so that's the way I'm trusting in.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. See that? And so the whole creation was contaminated with the sin of Adam, even from the days of Noah.
Yes.
Now keep in mind, everybody before Noah was destroyed except his family, and the earth was repopulated. After Noah, after the ark rested at Mount Ararat, and those eight souls came out and began to repopulate the earth. And so, but the whole creation was corrupted. If you read on, you'll find in Genesis, by the time you get to chapter 11, even the descendants of Noah had went back to idolatry.
Yep.
They started to build a ziggurat and worship the stars and the host of heaven. Didn't take very long after the flood. So you see God's spirit still striving with man. And so he called out of the seed of Shem, the Jews, as we would call them today, were called out of the seed of Abraham from Noah's son Shem, and it would be through them that he would bless the whole world with the seed of Abraham, who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tells us in Galatians that Abraham, the seed that God gave him, eventually would be the seed of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One seed, Paul says, so you make sure you don't miss the point.
That's right.
Only one seed, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
Not seeds as many. He
Amen.
Puts that in the text. In Galatians 1. And so Jesus Christ, who came through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through the kings of Israel, from David on up until the deportation, it says there, which are 42 generations, is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He came forth of the Virgin Mary.
That's right. Amen.
He was born of a woman, just like God had told the serpent in Genesis 3.
Yes.
That on your belly shalt you go, dust shalt you eat all the days of your life.
Yes.
And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Amen.
It shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So God was fulfilling that promise. But in the meantime, the whole creation, not just the people,
yes.
but the creation itself,
right.
here, suffered vanity. It was subject to vanity. It was not able to fulfill that for which it was created.
Amen.
And it was not willingly. This was foisted upon the creation by sin. When Adam sinned, the whole creation went into a situation of vanity, where it could not produce everything God intended for it to be. Before sin came, the earth was perfect. The heavens were perfect. Everything was perfect. When sin came, it corrupted everything.
Yes,
and y'all, it's kind of like this. Let's say, and I'm going to ask this, and you all tell me what you think here. This is a glass of good, clear, pure water.
Mm-hmm.
Over here. And how much sin, if this is poison, this isn't, but I'm just going to say, if this was poison, how? If I do this, if I put 25 drops in here, will you drink it?
No.
I don't think so. How about if I put 5 drops in here?
No.
Okay, how about if I put 3 drops in here?
No.
Okay, suppose I put 2. two drops?
No.
You don't want it, huh? How about one drop?
No way.
You wouldn't want it at all, with any poison in it at all, would you?
Amen. No way.
That's the way it is. You have to understand that you need a complete pure thing with no poison.
None.
In order for it to be acceptable.
Amen.
I'll try some. Amen.
Amen.
So that's the way the world is. If the world is corrupted at all, God is not interested.
Yes.
If there's any sin in you at all, you cannot make it.
No way. Amen.
Not one drop. So how am I going to be right with God? One way. God made a way.
Right.
A loophole. He gave his son.
Jesus.
So that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Not only is the earth and the creation in bondage to sin.
Yes.
But everything in the heavens. So people always want to say, oh, there's something out in space that's going to revolutionize. They want to find something somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
You know what? The whole heaven is corrupted with Adam's sin.
Amen.
However much of it is, to the farthest, most distant planet. And when you get another telescope that can see another billion light years, there's corruption out there too.
That's right. Amen.
And you're not going to run out of corruption until you get to God.
Yes.
See? And that's the only place there is no corruption. So the whole creation has been made subject to vanity, which is not, fruitlessness. It's not not willingly. It was forced upon him by the transgression of one man, Adam.
Yes.
For by reason of him, that's what it says, who subjected the same in hope. Why? Because the creature or the creation itself shall also be delivered. Did you know the earth is going to be delivered by the salvation provided by Jesus
yes.
Christ
Amen.
In the heavens from the bondage of corruption?
Yes.
See that? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God's going to restore perfect paradise like he created, because when he made it, there was no flaw.
None.
There was no corruption.
Amen.
There was nothing wrong with anything. Everything
Amen.
Was perfect. So people in a perfect environment corrupted the entire environment
yes.
by stumbling into sin, by listening to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the whole creation, as it goes on to say here, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth.
Yes.
And travail and pain together until now. Have you ever thought about that? Everything that's made is just hating the way that it is.
Yes.
Because of sin that entered into the world. It's not the way God designed it.
Amen.
And the salvation provided by Jesus Christ will correct everything wrong in the creation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're concerned a little less. They always talk about, we got all these people now want to worship the earth, talking about environmental friendliness, and they want to hug a tree and all these kind of things, you know. And they don't realize Jesus was crucified on a tree.
That's right. Amen.
He was crucified on a tree, wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace. And this is how God is going to make the water pure. It's through the blood of his son.
That's right.
John said, I was there and I saw blood and water when they pierced him through.
Yes.
Run down. And as they say, the blood was for my salvation and the water for my baptism.
Amen.
You
Amen.
See? And that's the only way you're going to be right with God.
The only way.
Is to repent. And God has made it that simple to confound the wise and the so-called prudent. You see? Now notice what it says here. We'll move along. And not only they, speaking of the creation, but also ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That means those who are saved now can see these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has invested his Holy Spirit in everyone who has trusted
yes,
his Son.
Amen.
If you trust Christ today, whoever you are, God is going to fill you with the Spirit.
That's right.
So that you can understand these things, the things that God has said here.
Amen.
Now notice what he says here, that we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves.
Yes.
Waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Your body is also going to be redeemed. When you get saved, your spirit is instantly redeemed.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. So the healing solution has been applied to everyone who has believed in Christ.
Oh, yes, it has.
Now, it doesn't immediately spontaneously overrule your body, and we're going to be talking about that. We've been talking about that all week for the past month, about how God will deliver you from the problems that your body has acquired, things that are out of order with God's word. He's going to strengthen you to have victory over those things that continue to bind you.
Yes.
He is freeing you. He's not binding you. He's loosing you.
That's right.
It's like he told Lazarus, loosen
yes.
and let him go. He's setting you free so that you can become the full man or woman God has made you to be, and to overcome the effects of the curse in your life. Amen. And so having said that, notice this. He says we're looking for the redemption of our bodies, for we are saved by hope. Now, hope doesn't mean in this case Now, the earth likes to think about, people like to think about hope is, well, I hope it does, and it may not. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about.
That's right.
We're talking about a sure and steadfast hope.
That's right.
Because God has sent his son. He has been crucified.
Yes.
He has died. He has paid the bill.
Yes.
He has risen from the dead.
Yes.
He has ascended into the heavens. He is seated at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Behind the veil, that last veil, the Bible says, is,
yes,
is the things that are yet to be revealed. But Christ was God, veiled in human flesh.
Yes.
And that veil was torn and rent and spit upon and some of everything in order for him to bear all that to take the penalty,
yes,
for our sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then when he ascended into heaven, the apostles were really freaked out there in Acts chapter 1. And angels came and had to explain and say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into the heavens? That same Jesus that was taken up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. He's coming back. He was received up into the clouds. And we're looking for him to come back.
Amen.
The next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. We don't know when that will be, but to be ready, you trust Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And so notice this when we're moving toward a close here. But he says, moving on, so our hope is a steadfast certainty that God has done exactly what he said. He will not be short of his word. He has kept his word, and you get in on it by faith. You believe what he has done, and God will accept you just like he accepts Christ.
Amen.
No difference. He only accepts me because he accepted Christ,
right,
and I accept Christ.
That's it.
I love Christ. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, like Paul said. Because I need him.
My Lord.
You know, he doesn't necessarily need me, although he has chosen to put a value to your life.
Yes.
You know how he did it? By telling you go to all the people in the world and tell them as you go about Christ.
Yes.
That's all he does. He entrusts you and me with the most important message in all of the eternity and all of time.
My Lord.
Now notice this. It says here as we move along, verse 25, but if we hope for what we see, he says, but, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to back up to 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope.
Uh-huh.
He says, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? If
yes,
you see it, you have it. Like, if I hope for this guitar, I can just reach here and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if I don't see it and I know it's there, there's some invisible things that make that guitar possible that I don't see.
Yes.
You know, all kinds of visible invisible things are going on right there. We don't have time for that discussion. But in either case, but if we hope for that which we see, then he says, is notice on here the B part, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?
Yes.
But if we hope for that we see not,
mm-hmm,
then do we with patience wait for it. So we learn patience. Likewise the Spirit. Now this is the part we're going to conclude with. He also helps our infirmity. You and I, even though we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, we have some imperfections.
Yes, we do.
In us. And we all know that. I don't think we would try to deny it. There's some things in me that are not right.
Mm-hmm.
You ever have thoughts and then you go, well, what can't, where'd that come from? Yeah, you know, what kind of thing are you thinking?
Yep.
I told you, I confessed, I wish I had a laser board, a beam on my dashboard the way I see people driving. I would probably be shooting folks down. What are you doing in the middle of the road? Get out of my way. You know, you feel like that, but you know that's not right.
Yep.
Like, why do you feel like that? You know, why do you feel like you could do some of these things? You know, like we mentioned at Bible study, somebody getting on your last nerve. You know, we have some issues.
Yes, we
and,
do.
But God, the Spirit of God puts us in check.
Yes. Thank
and he stops me from doing some of that stuff I might think about.
Yes.
You know, and thank God for that. You know, because God knows what would happen if you were just unloosed to do whatever you felt like. Okay? And so notice this. He said, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, all these people talking about they're so holy, they're so spiritual. The Bible says you don't even know what to pray for. And I know that's true. You know what, I'd like to see some fantastic things. I believe we're going to see it. Right here in this area.
Yes.
And we wrote some things down yesterday that are so big and so beyond our ability that if, when it gets done, it will have to be God.
Amen.
You know. But I figure if I'm asking God and the earth as he is and the fullness thereof, I might as well ask for whatever I want.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I can do it, I don't need God.
Right.
But if I can't do it, I'm going to say, God, this is what we want to do for the kingdom right here.
Amen.
And we put a big thing up there so big that if you see it happen, which we're praying it is going to, right here in Wellston, it's going to blow your mind.
Yes.
And you're going to say, it couldn't have been these folk here. You know, people probably been scandalizing us all the time. You know, what that little St. Timothy? You know, what they going to do?
Yeah.
Well, watch and see. Well, it's not what we're going to do. What's God going to do? You know, so we're looking for somebody higher to take care of this. And we know he has taken care of us. So the Spirit says here makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So we've seen here that the creation groans. We are groaning within ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is groaning on your behalf.
Yes.
To the Father. Three groanings going on. We'll talk about that later through the week. So God was grieved at the fall of Adam and made a promise that the Spirit would not always strive with man, but at the same time he knew that there was an appointment made in eternity to redeem man by the death of his Son and his supply of the Holy Spirit to all who believe in Christ Jesus and his resurrection. See, God already knew that before all this was going on in the earth.
That's right.
And he said there's a deadline on when my Spirit is going to stop striving with man. But I'm going to give my Son in the meantime, broadcast it in all the earth. Whoever trusts in him will be saved, and they will inherit the new heavens and the new earth. And there is nothing that we're going through that comes even close to what our Savior endured to put away sin once and for all. Think about what he went through.
Yes.
Therefore, having an ever-increasing knowledge of his love and grace, we should pray to believe the Holy Spirit and focus on the future.
Yes.
See, Amen. If I can live now looking ahead, you know, I'm going to do better than I am going to be looking back.
That's right.
You can't do anything about yesterday.
No.
You can't do anything about 10 minutes ago.
That's right.
Not to mention yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Something that happened is done. It's a done deal.
Right.
Now, some, like I said, you can make corrections and go back and ask forgiveness, all those kind of things.
Yes.
But some things are, that's it. When it's done, it's done.
That's right.
And in some sense, no matter what you do, it's done.
Right.
It's already recorded that thing was done, even though we may change our mind later.
Yes.
See? So let's focus on the future. God is moving us forward. You know, when the Spirit moved, it says he went forward everywhere he went in Ezekiel, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It said he went forward all the time. It was moving forward. He couldn't understand how he could see a vision of God always moving forward. Because God is moving forward. God is eternal, so he doesn't need to move at all. He's
right.
Everywhere all the time.
Amen.
So Christ Jesus satisfied the Father on behalf of all mankind who believe and assures all believers a hope of future glory with him that surpasses everything we're going through, no matter how painful.
Yes.
And even death and the grave have no power over the victory that is ours in him.
Yes.
All right, so if you're here today, I just want to give you the opportunity. This is our proud privilege to come and invite people into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask if you have not been saved, we want you to know. God wants you to know for sure that you are saved.
Yeah.
So we make an appeal to those who have just first heard the gospel today that God loves you. He will accept you right now,
yes,
just as you are.
Yes,
you have
does.
Never done anything for which he is not willing to forgive you.
Yes.
And he can turn you around.
Yes.
He will have his Spirit pray for you because we don't know what to pray for.
That's right. Amen.
Our prayers are corrupted.
Yes.
Even when we're praying our best, there could be some corruption. But God covers you because he gave his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will dwell in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. So we want to ask you to come at this time. If you are not saved and you want to make sure that you are in the Spirit, we will accept you and disciple you. And we thank God for you. Amen.
Come to Jesus,
my Lord.
Come to Jesus, just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. He is calling. He is calling. He.
Man, we none, but yet there is room. Is there anyone here who is saved and you would like to unite with us as a member of the St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church to be your church home? We'd like to extend a welcome to you also at this time. Whoever you are, we would appreciate if you would come at this time.
Amen. Amen.
We have something that you can do. God has gifted you to do some things. We will explore those things, find out what they are, and give you a place to execute your gifts. Amen. As a matter of fact, we have Chris here who is working as our audio visual person. Amen. And we thank him for that because we're trying to expand every department. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Amen. So if you're here, don't be ashamed. Come right now. We'd be happy to have you, and I will be delighted to be your pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Promise I'll see you through on teaching you what you need to know about Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Glory, hallelujah.
Christian experience.
Glory, hallelujah.
Trusted in Christ. If you have and you want to roll up your sleeves, we expect to take the area by storm. Amen. Not just here, but wherever. Jesus wants the gospel to the ends of the earth.
So that's right.
That's my target. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. We're targeting the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. However far we can take it. Mm-hmm. Amen. So don't be ashamed. Come on up. We have plenty of room, as you see. And as we said, if we run out, we'll build another building or go somewhere else.
Amen.
And we extend unto you the red carpet. We give you the red carpet treatment.
Amen. Amen.
You always hear about all those stars on the red carpet. Well, this is your day. Come on in. Amen.
Brother Pastor, we have Brother Lindsey Wilson, Christian Experience.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Would you like to have any words, Brother Wilson?
Well, I just want to say that I enjoy being here.
Amen.
Like I said, I've been baptized.
Amen.
But I haven't really belonged to a church in a while.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us say a word of prayer with Brother Wilson. Mm-hmm. Lord God, we ask that you bless, oh God, right now. We thank you for sending a servant into the vineyard, Lord. And we pray you just bless him in every way, Father, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, every way he needs a blessing. Oh God, and just be with him, oh God, to guide him into this vineyard to do exactly what you called him to do.
Yes.
And not only here, Lord, but as he goes out, let him be exemplary in his deportment as he goes forth.
Yes.
Oh God, that he might also be a strong witness wherever you have planted him in the world. So we thank you for him. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. God bless you. We'll extend to him the right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother. We'll have the whole church come at this time and extend to you the right hand of fellowship. All right. Amen. We'll give y'all a little right hand of fellowship.
What? Fellowship. What a joy divine.
Thank you. Amen. We thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness.
Amen. And at this time, we'd like to make preparation for... Uh-oh, got somebody upset over there. All right. Amen. At this time, we are going to make preparation for the baptismal service. Amen.